we heard that there was an all staff meeting, all staff, all faculty meeting. There's very few of those. And then, you know, we met at like Friday, maybe 3:30, 3 o'clock or so, and we're told that the college was going to close down. Everyone was laid off immediately, and well, I got on the phone and making some phone calls. You know, it's interesting. My parents were in town, and we were going to go on one of these boat cruises that Friday evening. So I walked up to my dad and said, "Hey, Dad, guess what? I just got laid off." Within a couple of weeks, everyone was out of there.
Yeah, our population did take a little bit of a blip there because there were quite a few employees here. A lot of people worked here. But it was interesting for me this last summer when I came on and I walked into offices that looked like somebody had just been there. And no one had been there for 3 years. I mean, coffee cups still standing on a desk, papers lying on a desk, pen. Many people just left.
The tension between the college and the town, which existed well before the denial of the loan, continued even after the people filling the campus filed out without warning. Gary Paxton has served on Sheldon Jackson's Board of Trustees for years before its closure.
The city factually has not been a help in this. Since they closed, we have asked the city for a variety of help, and they have not been a help. My view, in any measurement, they've been a barrier in a way. They made us pay property tax the whole time. They did not have to do that. It was a decision made by the assembly. The attorney told the assembly it was up to the assembly's decision whether or not to make us pay property tax. And they said we had to do it. Well, here we are going through, trying to prevent going through bankruptcy so we can find an end game that's good for the town. And the city's making us pay property tax for $120,000 or $30,000 a year for 5 years. It was distasteful and it was unchristian and it was wrong to do, but they did that.
So the campus stood there as the Sheldon Jackson trustees searched for a solution. Plywood covered the windows of its 20 buildings as they braved Alaskan winters. One institution, the University of Dubuque, expressed interest in a possible partnership, which never got off the ground. And there were persistent rumors that someone, maybe a cruise line, would buy the property. But over time, it became clear no one actually wanted it. Even for the state senator, Bert Stedman, who declined to speak for the story, the potential was hard to see.
He was really concerned that the fine arts camp could do this because all he saw, and I'm not trying to minimize Bert's position, was all the deferred maintenance and how are they ever going to do that. He's a very practical man, and he just said, boy, I don't know how they're going to do that. I mean, he looked at the Hames, but all he could see with the Hames was, that's not like you dumb guy, but he's $1 million, $10 million worth of maintenance.
Roger Smith, the executive director of the Sitka Fine Arts Camp in Alaska Arts Southeast, saw beyond the deserted buildings. Because of the organization's education mission and the lack of other interest, the SJ trustees gave him the campus after 4 years.
I got a call from the executive manager, John Holst. He says, well, if you want it, you can have it. So it was a kind of a wild phone call, unexpected, and it felt like it wasn't going to happen at all. And then all of a sudden, it felt victorious 1 minute and the next minute daunting. When you step off the edge of something and you know you're completely committed and there isn't any way to stop the momentum, I mean, it was just like jumping into a really, really fast river. Or, you know, pushing off the bank in a little kayak, knowing that you know, you weren't going to get out till the end. And so that was, you know, it was daunting. Everything about it has been daunting.
As Roger experienced this mix of feelings at his step forward, those embedded in SJ's history could not help but feel the loss of the advancement it once offered to so many Alaska Natives. A source of advancement many would like to see more of today.
It's been a long road to get where we are. I don't know whether the road is good enough now or not. I feel that we had made SJ and kept it as a high school where you could take the top-notch students with education that we had, that we'd be much further ahead with that type of education. I think it was so... the people that really know the school, this is heartbreaking to even... I know they're doing things with it now, but it's not our school anymore.
Some continue to mourn the fact that the SJ that once offered so much opportunity to the Native community is irretrievably gone. Yet the fact remains that for the 4 years the building sat above the harbor unused, SJ wasn't extending the road Isabella spoke of. When Roger jumped off that cliff, as he phrased it, by accepting the campus in February, he created a whole new road, one whose end remains far out of sight. In Sitka, I'm Diana Saverin.